All right, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. This is the fourth and last in a series of messages relative to the teaching of God's Word regarding the nation of Israel and its relationship to the church. The previous messages that I've alluded to time and again will hopefully all fit on one DVD along with the message that I'm bringing today. And if that's the case, then you will have all four of these messages very conveniently packaged on one DVD, and you can go back to where we started and kind of get caught up on the previous messages, which will then help you to understand the message that I'm bringing today, which is the same thing with the other DVDs that we have. Those of you that are watching online, just to remind you that we just came out with our brand new DVD, which is The Muslim Problem. We have three messages on this DVD. The first one, The American Church Has a Serious Problem. The second one, Killing in the Service of God. And then the last one, The Real War. And I trust that if you don't have that already, that you'll order that. You can go online 24/7 and click on the links, especially if you're using a credit card, and you can get that. I hope that you'll get extra copies for your friends, maybe some of your church members, and even some preachers, etc., to try to give you some balance and some scriptural teaching to kind of help and temper the hysteria and sometimes the paranoia, the hatred, the manipulation that is being done now to accomplish things that would not certainly honor the Lord. So I hope that you'll get that. All right, let me give you just a brief review without spending a lot of time going back through several other messages, hoping that you will get those messages and bring yourself up to speed on all of these messages when we're done. But for a brief review, John chapter 1, verse 11, Christ came unto his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. They rejected him. They rejected him as Messiah. They rejected him as King. They rejected him as Savior. Crucified him on a cross. As you know, 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. Christ came unto his own. His own received him not. The next verse, verse 12 in John 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So salvation is offered to any and all who receive God's Son as their Savior, regardless of birth, ancestry, lineage, etc. He came unto his own received him not. In the message I preached from Hebrews chapter 7, Jesus' priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of the Levites. And we went into great detail to explain and to show you the significance of that. That Jesus did not extend the Levitical priesthood into the New Testament church. Rather, the Levitical priesthood was ended. And Jesus established another priesthood. And this priesthood, of course, is told to be after the order of Melchizedek from the book of Genesis. And we went back and looked at that passage very carefully when we delved into this subject. So the priesthood that Jesus has today is not the Levitical priesthood that has been removed. The priesthood of the Lord is after the order of Melchizedek. And that difference is very significant for the church. And again, this is something you will rehearse as you go over the past messages. Thirdly, as we saw last Sunday, Christ is the seed of David and the seed of Abraham. And we saw last Sunday that in Abraham's seed, singular, meaning Christ, all nations of the earth are blessed. All the nations of the earth are blessed in the seed of Abraham, singular, which is Christ. And if you weren't here last Sunday and you missed my address from Galatians chapter 3, I hope you'll get the video and get up to speed on that. The promise of blessing, number 4, and cursing in Genesis 12, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. We went over that last week. What was specifically for the man Abram, not for his descendants nationally. The promise was not that God would bless those who bless the nation of Israel. It was that God would bless those who would bless the man Abram. And that through Abram's seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, which meant, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3 is so very clear about that. Through Christ, Jew and Gentile are blessed as one in Christ. So today, we are one in Christ. The church is one. It is not Jew, it is not Gentile, it is not bond, it is not free, it is not rich or poor or male and female. We are all one in Jesus Christ. And that is the blessing that God gave to all the nations of the earth through the seed of Abraham. Not the seeds many, meaning a nation of descendants, but the seed as of one, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a brief summary. Now, in our text today in Matthew chapter 23, we find Jesus' final message to Israel. His final message to Israel. Matthew 23, verses 37 through 39. After a lengthy rebuke of the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, scribes, etc., he says what he says in conclusion, verses 37 through 39, just to give you an idea. Verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" Verse 24, "Ye blind guides." 25, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." 26, "Thou blind Pharisee." 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." 29, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Verse 33, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" A very long and lengthy rebuke to the Jewish leaders. Now he concludes his remarks in the verses that we're going to read, verses 37, 38, and 39. And I again remind you, these are the last words of Jesus to the nation of Israel. What are his last words? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. I sent prophets to you, and you stoned them and killed them. I came unto you myself as your Savior and Messiah, and you have rejected me and my words. Now hear his last and final words to the nation of Israel. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Those were his last words to the nation of Israel. It involved two things. One, your house is left desolate, destroyed, utterly, thoroughly, totally destroyed. Number two, you are not going to see me again until you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Until then, you won't see me. You won't recognize me. And I will have nothing to do with you. Then in chapter 24, which I, in sermons past, which will be on the DVD, go into length to show you. Chapter 24 is primarily not about the second coming of Christ. Just about every Bible teacher you will listen to on the radio or television will refer to Matthew 24 as a indication of the signs of the times relative to the second coming of Christ. And that's not what chapter 24 of Matthew is all about. He said, your house is left unto you desolate. And he turns to his disciples and he says, here's how I'm going to destroy the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. And he describes in Matthew 24 the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. If you do not understand that, you will never understand Matthew 24. And if you do not understand Matthew 24 in proper context, so many other so-called prophetic scriptures are going to be misinterpreted as they relate to Matthew 24, because Matthew 24 is not primarily talking about the return of Christ, it's talking about the destruction of the city of Jerusalem in fulfillment to what Jesus just said, your house is left unto you desolate. And to the 12, he gives more details as to what to watch for relative to what's going to happen to the city of Jerusalem about 35 years after Jesus spoke these words, by the way. Now, one thing that is crystal clear about this passage of Scripture, to everyone, well, except to maybe people like John Hagee, is that right now, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. We are all one in Jesus Christ. That is crystal clear. What is also crystal clear is that Israel has been left desolate and is in a state of blindness. By the way, every single commentator that I have read, and again, as you know, I don't hardly ever read commentators who wrote after the year 1900. All the commentators that I read wrote before the year 1900. Every single one of them agree that Matthew 24 is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Every one of them. It was not until the 20th century, specifically after the establishment of the modern state of Israel in 1948, that modern Christian scholars, commentators, theologians, etc., changed the meaning of Matthew 24 to refer to the second coming of Christ and not the destruction of Israel. When you read the early church commentators, they all refer to the destruction of Jerusalem. We're all one in Christ, and Israel has been left desolate. There is no argument about those two statements. None. Zero. You can try to argue if you want to, but you're just going to look foolish. Those are clearly stated truths of the Word of God. Again, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Christ. And the nation of Israel has been left desolate per Jesus' statement in Matthew chapter 23. Not only is Israel in a state of desolation, it's also in a state of blindness. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verses 7 through 10. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Redemption. Salvation. Israel hath not obtained it. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The election are all of those Jew or Gentile who have been elected by God the Father to be part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church. We are the elect. Except for the elect, and by the way, there are Jews who are a part of the elect, those who receive Christ as their Messiah and their Savior, like us Gentiles, they too share in the promises of the seed of Christ, seed of Abraham, which is Christ. But the rest are in blindness. Verse 8, according as it is written, God hath given them, the nation of Israel, the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this day. As Paul wrote, the New Testament book of Romans, unto this day, the nation of Israel has eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear. They are in a state of slumber. And David saith, verse 9, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. So the current condition of the state of Israel, the nation of Israel, since the destruction of Israel and Jerusalem in 70 AD is a condition of spiritual slumber, spiritual blindness. Listen to what Adam Clark writes about this passage. What is the real state of the case before us? Israel, the body of the Jewish people, have not obtained that which they so earnestly desired, i.e., to be continued as they have been hitherto, the peculiar people of God. But the election hath obtained it. As many of them as have believed in Jesus Christ and accepted salvation through Him. This is the grand scheme of the election by grace. God chooses to make those His peculiar people who believe in His Son. And none other shall enjoy the blessings of His kingdom. Those who would not receive Him are blinded. They have shut their eyes against the light and are in the very circumstances of those mentioned by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 29:10. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath He covered. Close quote. The election, those who are in Christ, Jew and Gentile, have received the blessing of heaven. We are the peculiar people of God. We are the chosen of God, chosen in Christ. And I'll get to that verse in a moment. Here's what John Gill writes about this passage in Romans. Specifically the phrase, "and the rest were blinded." He writes, "The non-elect, or those who were not chosen and reserved, to whom Christ was a stumbling block and a rock of offense, those who stumbled at the word of the gospel, being disobedient to the divine revelation whereunto they were appointed. Hence, they obtained no mercy, grace, faith, life, righteousness, and eternal salvation, but were blinded, left in that native blindness and ignorance in which they were born and brought up, were blinded by themselves willfully more and more, as they knew not the Messiah. So neither would they understand. They sinned willfully against light, knowledge. They shut their eyes against all that evidence and demonstration given of Jesus of Nazareth being the Messiah by His doctrines and miracles. And they were blinded by Satan, the god of this world, by whom they were led captive, who wrought effectually in them and stirred up the malice and enmity of their minds against Christ and His gospel. For they were of their father, the devil, and his lusts they would do. And they were blinded by God Himself, so that they could not believe. For all of this, it was but just with God to give them up to," listen, "judicial blindness and hardness of heart." Close quote. That is the condition of Israel. Their house has been left desolate, destroyed utterly. They are in a protracted state of blindness. They have eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear. They slumber. Judicial blindness and hardness of heart. That is the state of Israel and has been since Jesus utters those words in Matthew chapter 23. The blessing promised in Genesis 12 was specifically to the man Abram, not to the nation of Israel. I will bless them that bless thee was said to Abram, not to the nation of Israel. The seed of Abraham, through which all nations would be blessed, is Christ, not the nation of Israel. We owe the modern state of Israel the same debt that we owe every other nation. Romans 1:17, last week's message. We are debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarian, to the wise and to the unwise. What is our debt? Our debt is to love them and to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the debt that we owe to every nation on the face of the earth, including Israel and including the Muslim states. Our duty is to love them as Christ loves them. Our duty is to give them the gospel, I'm talking about as the church, as the body of Christ, and to give them the gospel, and that is our duty to Israel as well. Nationally, politically, the same natural laws and laws of nations that apply to every other country on the face of the earth apply to Israel. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing more, nothing less. I said it when I was running for president in 2008. If I'm elected president, I will stop foreign aid to all nations, including Israel. The laws of nations apply. The natural laws of God apply. And we should respect those laws and give them broad berth across the globe. The spiritual blessings are in Christ, not Israel. The spiritual blessings are in Christ. And all these prophecy guys that are trying to help Jesus out by all their wars and the things that they're doing in the Middle East in the name of protecting Israel, an Israel that has nothing to do with the future kingdom Israel. Again, there are no holy wars. There are no holy wars. My message a few weeks ago explains that. And for Christians to use their myopic interpretations of Scripture to support wars of aggression in the name of the modern state of Israel contradicts both the laws of God and the laws of nations. It's a contradiction. Look at what has happened to America. Under the rubric of blessing Israel, they misinterpret Genesis 12 to apply to the modern state of Israel. And so all of these decisions that they've made militarily, congressionally, politically, diplomatically, forcefully, all under that rubric. What's happened to America since? What do we have? Perpetual wars abroad. Nation building. Political assassinations. mass killings of innocents. We have fomented hatred against us all over the world. We're helping to establish the devil's new world order. A burgeoning police state within America. Hatred in the hearts of Christians against entire nations and peoples. All of this under the rubric of blessing the modern state of Israel. In the times of the Gentiles, the times in which we live, the church, the body of Christ, is the chosen of God. Old Testament Israel was chosen by God in Old Testament Israel. In the times of the Gentiles, the church, the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female, all one in Christ, are the chosen of God. Take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath, what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Here's what Adam Clark writes about this passage. As he has decreed from the beginning of the world and has kept in view from the commencement of the religious system of the Jews, to bring us Gentiles to the knowledge of this glorious state of salvation by Christ Jesus. The Jews considered themselves an elect or chosen people and wished to monopolize the whole of the divine love and beneficence. The apostle here shows that God had the Gentiles as much in the contemplation of his mercy and goodness as he had the Jews. And the blessings of the gospel, now so freely dispensed to them, Gentiles, were the proof that God had thus chosen them, and that his end in giving them the gospel was the same which he had in view by giving the law to the Jews. Well said. Well said. The church is God's chosen people. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Some of you are more peculiar than others, by the way. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Here's what Adam Clark writes about this verse. The titles formerly given to the whole Jewish church, to all the Israelites without exception, all who were in the covenant of God by circumcision, whether they were holy persons or not, are here given to Christians in general in the same way. All who believe in Christ, whether Jews or Gentiles. We are a chosen generation. In the Old Testament, God chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and the nation of Israel. Old Testament Israel rebelled against God. And God gave them over to the oppressions of the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and at the time of Christ, the Romans. Jesus came to the nation of Israel, presenting himself to them as their Messiah and King. They rejected him. And in Matthew chapter 23, in our text, Jesus rejected them. Not only is the modern state of Israel not the restored nation of Israel, it can often be, not that it always is, but it can often be the enemies of Christ and his church. And what it is an enemy, we need to recognize it as an enemy. Just as any other secular state of unregenerate people might be, at any given point, a nation could be our friend as a nation, or they could be our enemy. Same is true with the state of Israel, the modern state of Israel. Israel was certainly not our friend when its warships attacked the USS Liberty and killed many of our sailors. They were not our friend on that day. What would be the reaction of the American Christian had that come from a Muslim state? But it was the Jewish state of Israel, and it was almost a non-news story. We have to recognize the nation for what it is. When it does things as a nation that is a blessing to the United States, then praise the Lord. But it doesn't get a free pass under a misinterpretation of Scripture that ascribes to it a present condition that it does not have. There are some Christian pastors who seem to have a greater sense of loyalty and patriotism to the modern state of Israel than they do the United States of America. And to those people, I say, you should move to the modern state of Israel. As a country, last recap. To Israel and to every other nation, we owe the debt of the gospel. And just because I'm sure that when people get a little glimpse of this video, they're going to listen to one or two little clips. They're not going to hear the whole thing. And they're going to go off on knee-jerk reaction tirades, and I'm going to be their favorite whipping boy on the internet for the next I don't know how long. And I'm going to hear Chuck is anti-Semitic from now to who knows when because of this message. When the fact of the matter is, there is not an anti-Semitic bone in my body. The only feeling and emotion that we should have as Christian people toward any people, whether they're Jews or Muslims or Buddhists or Confucius or atheists or agnostics, the only thing in our heart should be love. Amen. Love. And I love the Jewish people because Jesus loves the Jewish people and he sent himself to the cross to die for their sins as he did ours. I want them to know Christ as Savior. I want them to be saved. I love Muslims for the same reason. I love atheists for the same reason. God sent his Son to die for them on the cross, and as a Christian, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and our spirit toward any people should be nothing, nothing, nothing but love. Love. I refuse to be part of that crowd that is a anti-Semitic, hate-filled group of people that constantly finds all of the problems in the world emanating from the Jewish people. No, I reject that with all of my heart. Just as I reject with all of my heart that the Muslims are the only problems in the world and all of the problems are coming from the Muslims. I reject that from the bottom of my heart. The problems are coming from the prince and power of the air, the God of this world, who is using people of every stripe, shape, and form, who are blinded to the person of Jesus Christ, who are hardened in their hearts against the gospel of Christ. And Satan is manipulating them to do his will. It's a spiritual battle. Wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. There is no room in our hearts for hate. None. Whether it's Jew or Muslim or atheist or Buddhist or whatever it might be, as Christians, we have the love of God in our heart. But as a country, as a nation, America has more of God's chosen people today, Christians, than any other nation on earth. And America, unlike any other nation on earth, was founded on the natural law principles of liberty given to us by God. And therefore, this country, America, has been the greatest free nation to ever exist and has allowed us to practice our faith in safety and liberty. Therefore, the American Christian, our first duty and obligation is to our own country, not to any foreign country. Talking about America blessing Israel, really we ought to be talking about Israel blessing America. Without the freedoms known in the United States, the world rolls back into the dark ages. And so to Israel, Christ's last words are his final words to the nation. Ye shall not see me henceforth till ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Let's keep everything that we believe as Christians in conformity to the teachings of the Word of God, and nothing is more important in the instruction of heaven than that we love one another and that we give the gospel of Christ to everyone who will let us, and that we have nothing but love in our hearts for all of those outside of Christ, and that we understand the spiritual blessings that have been given to us in the church by Abram's seed, singular, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Let's stand for prayer.